Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fellas, it's a stressful time of the year. The holidays are coming up, so your bank account is going to take a big hit no matter what. Whether it's shopping for food, Christmas presents, a trip to Detroit to watch Pitt in the Quick Lanes Bowl. And, of course, you got players decommitting from your favorite college football team. And with all that on your mind, you may lose that loving feeling. And, of course, then you got to worry about your significant other decommitting and getting, because, you know, she's getting bigger offers from bigger schools, and maybe they're better. Don't let that happen, guys. You know why? Because you got a big-ass booster in your corner. Yes, Blue Chew. It's blue like the pill. It works like Viagra and Cialis, but chewable, so it works up a lot faster. Take them any time of the day, on empty stomach or full. And right now, we got a special deal. Go to BlueChew.com. Enter the promo code ARMCHAIR and get your first order free. All I gotta do is pay the $5 in shipping. So go to Blue Chew and play like a champion today. But just not like Notre Dame. They suck. All right, guys, welcome in. It's another Panther Rants podcast with Vlad Harris. Or actually, I should say Pitt Panther Rants and other sports rants. You know, there's a lot of, excuse me for a second, I'm back out of this garage here. I was just thinking about all this. A lot of correlation here between, you know, I guess you can say a rectal dysfunction. No, not so much rectal dysfunction, but I would say appendage size and college football recruiting. I mean, let's think about this. You're a school, you know, you may get 40, you know, you're in a power conference, say. And you got like, you know, you get maybe 30,000 to 50,000 for your games. Recruiting tends to be a pain in the ass because you have to deal with bigger schools. Ah, see that? Bigger schools with bigger stadiums and, of course, bigger attendance, right? And maybe they have, you know, facilities are bigger. I mean, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to digest here. Am I right? Now, does that mean it's going to be better for them? You know, quote unquote, bigger is better? No, not exactly. I mean, because here's the thing. You could end up, say, in like places like Vanderbilt. Or even like Tennessee or South Carolina. It doesn't mean it's going to be any better for you. Or for recruits, I should say. Because the only thing that's really, you know, making them stand out usually is they have the SEC patch on their jerseys. Just because they go to a bigger school and there's more attendance, the facilities may be better, doesn't mean everything else is going to be better for you. Or your experience. And that's the thing, if you're very insecure and, you know, if you're dating and if you're insecure, one thing I always used to tell people, and I had friends who were, you know, they're insecure about the other, their person's past. And one thing I always say is never ask about it, because it never, you know, nothing ever good comes out of it. I mean, it's, maybe when you're sober, it, you know, nothing bad comes out. But when you're drunk is when you're, you know, it's when it all comes out. I've witnessed that a bunch of times. Yeah, but the thing about it is, if we're talking about, the size of a male appendage, I mean, does the size really matter? Well, here's the thing. If you don't know what, here's the thing. You could be a college program with all the bells and whistles, but if you don't know what you're doing, you're never gonna come out on top. And that's, and your females, they will tell you the same thing. You could be built like John Holmes, and if you don't know how to, work what you have, then, well, all you got really is something to play wiffle ball with. You could probably shoot pool with it, or you could play the piano with it. A lot of things you can do with it. Play ring toss with it. But that's really about it. I mean, it's, you know, if you don't have, you know, if you don't know how to utilize it, what's the point? All right, let's move on to another subject because that was fun. But yes, as we stay on the subject of recruiting, Pitt did have a player decommit recently. Henry Parrish decommitted. Pitt fans, voted for him, for some award, and that was great. But I mean, we all knew this was coming for a while, just on his interviews. And but we landed him in the summer, and of course, his highlights blew up as the football season began. He made some big plays, and of course, he went viral on Twitter. And well, you knew what was going to happen then. Yep, other schools were going to offer, and of course, are they bigger and better? No, not exactly. Right now, two schools he's talking to are Miami and Florida. Miami certainly isn't bigger or better than Pitt. They just have, a bunch of national titles. That's really about it. Well, Miami's on, they're on. They're a really great program, but when they're off, they're really off. And we're seeing that right now. They've been off probably since Larry Coker left. And they haven't been the same. They just get really good athletes. They don't know what to do with them. See? They don't know how to work with what they have, you guys. Whereas we may get some, decent to mediocre players, and we know just how to work with them. It'd be scary if we got actually really good, recruits. I mean, if we got 7 wins out of this bunch, imagine if we got, a top 10 recruiting class. Think about that, you guys. We'd be winning national titles, like we'd be the hottest ticket in town. But unfortunately, that's just not going to happen. The thing about Henry is he's a Henry or Harry, whatever his name is. I mean, who cares? He's not playing here anymore anyway. When you recruit kids in the South and ACC, SEC territories, eventually these programs, if they didn't get offered initially in the summer, or they didn't get enough offers that they wanted, eventually, these schools will come around, and which is what happened here. And if a kid has an opportunity to, in those territories, to go somewhere where he'll play closer to home and stay in the South where the weather will be a little bit better, he'll do that. That's just the reality of it. He really has no reason to go to Pitt and, be in the snow. Although, if you can play in cold weather, you can play anywhere. For the most part. But he's gone. And of course, people are trying to rationalize it, saying, well, we need the scholarships, and it is what it is. Well, given what we saw from our running backs this past year, I would say, we can always use more running backs because the ones we had really didn't set themselves apart. And you could blame the offensive line as well. The line wasn't great, but the backs really didn't give you much reason to, to feel good either. Unless we're using pass catching backs, which, a lot of these guys did, did get double digits in receptions. So Pitt has a commit from a New York kid by the name of Israel Abaconda. He's now a 4-star on certain sites now, and supposedly he's really good. He's supposedly better than Parrish, and all of our problems are solved. Because now we can use the extra scholarship for tight ends that we'll probably never land, or we'll have to, you know, try to flip a kid from UTEP because we can't land anybody else. Or we go to the transfer portal and we go find a tight end that maybe had a lot of potential when they signed with a school and they sucked. So we end up signing them and hopefully we get some production out of them. So, yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. Yeah, that's the gist for the most part. The Quick Lanes Bull t-shirts are up for sale. So I went and got one and they're beautiful. You know, I really don't buy Bull shirts, but I just had to buy this one. I don't know why. It's just the Pitt, the Eastern Michigan thing, the Mac. I don't know. I hate the Quick Lanes Bowl, but I'm now excited for it. I don't know why. Maybe because I get to watch a Pitt football game one last time. You know, and it's after Christmas, so as I try to recover, you know, from my a wounded bank account, I get to watch Pitt play against Eastern Michigan and hope that they don't come out lethargic, where the way I see things happening is I see Pitt jumping out to like a 17-0 lead. Then, as the half is about to end, Pitt gets a bunch of personal fouls. Eastern Michigan scores before the half, and eventually Pitt kicks a field goal in the second half and holds on to win 20-17. That's pretty much, I think, what's going to happen with this bowl game. That's pretty much the likely scenario. Although maybe Pitt will surprise us and actually blow this team out and we won't have to worry about it anymore. But this is obviously the school that Heather Like was at. So it's the Heather Like Bowl, and I guess the coach that's there is the one that Heather Like hired, and he's been doing pretty decent for Eastern Michigan. At one time, they were going to get rid of the program, and I guess Heather convinced them not to get rid of it. So I guess they renovated the stadium, and they eliminated some other programs instead. So yeah, they kept college football and they just eliminated other programs. So I guess it worked out for them because they're going to bowl games and of course the payout's not as much. My coworker, his son plays for Baylor. They're going to the Sugar Bowl, and he's ecstatic, obviously. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, his dad is, because his dad gets to drive, you know, 6 hours from Houston to the bowl game. The payout for this bowl game is $17 million. And of course, you know, they get gifts and stuff like that. So they're, you know, they're pretty excited and eager to see what kind of gifts they get. So I'm, you know, it was funny because I went to work that next, you know, Monday and asked him, I'm like, hey, are you going to that bowl game? You going to New Orleans? He's like, oh yeah, I'm going. So that's good for them. I mean, they almost beat Oklahoma with their third string quarterback. They should have won that game. They should be in the college football playoffs. Baylor should be. But their consolation is the Sugar Bowl against Georgia. I mean, you gotta love that. Pitt's consolation was Eastern Michigan, and, you know, it's just that, and I know there's, like, some hot takes about how, oh, the program's dying because we're in some bullshit bowl game in Detroit against a MAC program. The program isn't any fucking trouble, guys. I mean, settle down. We're not, you know, obviously we haven't taken that big step forward, which I don't know what the hell that is. I mean, as long as Clemson's doing, you know, kicking ass the way they are, we're not going to play in a college football playoff. We may end up in some better bowl, probably the Pinstripe at maximum. But we're obviously not dipping to the 96 Panthers, where, you know, They got blown up by Ohio State 72-0. So the program is in trouble, guys. We're not in shambles. I mean, we survived that. I mean, hell, we survived the Todd, you know, we survived Mike Haywood for 2 weeks, Todd Haley leaving after a year, and of course, Paul Chryst and his house cleaning. So, we've survived a whole lot, a hell of a lot, and we've seen rock bottom, and the program isn't going to hit rock bottom. We may have a losing season here and there now, but it's not going to be as pitiful as it was. I mean, we've seen pitiful. We saw, the Dave Wanstead, early years of the Dave Wanstead era. 5-6. The next year, 6-6, because, we started out 6-1 and lost 5 straight then that season and didn't make a bowl game. And we had a chance to win 7 games. We had a 14-point lead against UConn, and we decided that running LaRon Stevens up the middle to run out the clock was a great idea. We ended up in overtime and losing. Then the next year, we lose our starting quarterback. We finish, 4-8 or 5-7, one of the two. I mean, does it matter? So, we've seen rock bottom, guys. We're not hitting rock bottom with this program. So, yeah, let's leave the hot takes to people who, just want, clicks for their site and they want controversy. We're doing just fine. The sun's going to shine in the morning. The O's going to stay open. And we're always going to have beautiful pit gear to buy. Life is grand. But, I'm excited for this Quick Lanes Bowl. I mean, why not? I mean, let's Penn or Deuce never won a bowl game. Let's let him get this office back, and who knows, maybe we win more bowl games eventually down the road. Although we can say that, last year we should have won the bowl game against Stanford, but we had a lethargic offense, and yeah, there was that. Northwestern game, the Pinstripe Bowl, James Conner gets hurt, and we were just lethargic the entire game. It's just getting these guys up ready for these bowl games has always been the problem. Our last bowl game win was against here, Detroit. We beat some bullshit MAC team, I remember. Yeah, it was a MAC team. Oh, that's right. It was the revenge game because supposedly there was some player on that team, if I remember correctly, that we didn't recruit or something like that, and this was his revenge, and, he really didn't do dick against us. And we had Aaron Donald and James Conner, and James Conner played defense, and he got a piece of the action. Yep. And bear with me, guys. I'm driving to work, so you're going to hear some revving and all kind of bumping, all kind of crap. Pitt basketball. Their next game is until Monday. And basically, if you look at the schedule, their last three games are against a bunch of cupcakes. Binghamton may give us a problem, but that's really about it. So Pitt has a chance to win their next three and close out their early schedule. Although we had two early ACC games, we had Florida State and Louisville. I know Jim Boeheim hated these early ACC games, but I actually loved them. Mainly because for Pitt in their situation, they get to see what they're up against early. So when conference play begins, they know how to make the adjustments needed. They know what they're going to need to do when conference play hits full stride. So, I like it. because they get to see where they're at currently and where they need to go and how they need to do it. And, you know, they played really well against Louisville, but, you know, some players didn't show up, and we also had, you know, some shitty officiating as well. But there's a lot to feel good about. I mean, well, are we going to make the tournament? No, but I think we'll be a lot more better off than we were. So let's enjoy that. Now, as to close it off, we do have one thing I forgot, didn't touch on, is there's some Pitt players that are exploring their draft options. You got Paris Ford, you got Jalen Twyman, then you got Patrick Jones II, I believe is, I think it's his salutation. So let's talk about those for a minute. For one thing, all three of these guys are very talented. They had really good seasons. And naturally, when that happens, you're going to explore your draft options, especially if you're eligible. You hope they don't hire an agent. Although I'm not sure if the NCAA rules change where you could still hire an agent. I don't know, NCAA is weird. They tend to change things. But they had good seasons, and I don't blame them for exploring their draft options. If you can get paid, get paid. If you don't want to risk another season of college where you may get hurt. But, you know, the thing is, you know, getting the camp is one thing, but also you got to make the team as well. So you got to look to see if you're going to be a second-day pick. And second-day pick really is rounds two, you know, through four, because, you know, the first round is a one-day extravaganza now, because it's a lot of festivities, commercials, a lot of media coverage, a lot of people kissing your ass. Now it's, you know, first round's a big spectacle now. So day two is, you know, if you can get through rounds two through four, I mean, yeah, you get paid. Go do what you need to do. So I don't blame these guys doing this. You got to go see where you're at. I mean, I think Twyman and probably Patrick Jones, I think they're probably going to be ready to go. I think they'll be gone. Paris Ford could probably use another year, but I think he'll end up going as well. But there's, you know, some people are saying that he's going to stay, and they have their sources that he's staying. But again, nothing's official until these guys say it. But you know, if they do, more best of luck to them. And yeah. Losing players is, you know, the draft is just part of life. And, you know, other stuff going around. Garrett Cole got a big contract. I find it humorous that Astros fans are being butthurt over this. I mean, personally, I don't care. I mean, I'm not, you know, maybe because I'm not a diehard Astros fan. I can understand the Astros, you know, fan point of view where, after the, you know, the game, the World Series was over, he had his agent's hat on, and he wasn't an employee of the Astros anymore. So I can understand how that may piss people off. But at the end of the day, the Astros needed an arm, and they got one, and he gave them two really good seasons. They just didn't get a title. It's part of life. I mean, they could have had one, but their manager fucked things up. And of course, their players on offense didn't show up. And if they did, they wanted to hit home runs, and they didn't want to hit base hits, because because getting singles and doubles is boring. Yeah, well, it didn't work out for them. So whatever. He goes to New York, and he's going to get paid, and that's that. I mean, he may have to deal with some things playing in the Big Apple. That's always pressure. And he's got to deliver. So hopefully Garrett has the maturity to not to deal with all that. Because playing in Pittsburgh and Houston is a lot different than playing in New York. Sure, Houston's a bigger city than Pittsburgh, but as far as, you know, the big market type of thing, it's not there. I know some people will will be happy if he fails. But you know what? At the end of the day, when he goes to bed, his bank account's going to be a lot bigger than everybody else's. So who cares? Now, is a bigger bank account better? Well, sure, it is, because, you know, you're able to pay your bills. Just make sure you save your money and you know how to work your bank account. Ah, see, there we go again. All right, guys, I'm done here. My mind's in the gutter. Hell to pit.